Take your Bible and turn to that psalm we read a few moments ago, to the psalm number 81. I want to think this day on the verse 16, or the final part of the verse 16 of this psalm number 81. And it says there, "He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." And I've entitled the message today, "Honey out of the rock." And with the word of God open, let's just seek the Lord's face in a moment's prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we come to thee and we thank thee for the privilege it is to once again to sit around your word. We thank thee for the living word of the living God. And we pray now that we will know thy help. Blessed Spirit of God, lead us and direct us and infill us and flow through us. And help us today to make much of thy truth, make much of the Savior. Lord, we pray that you'll bless even this truth, even to our hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. You know, there are wonderful promises in the Word of God. In fact, there's a promise for every day when you start studying the Scripture. And my, when you come to the beginning of a new year, there's nothing that thrills your heart more to notice that there is a word for every day of the year. Thank God, there's the wonderful clear knots of the Scripture. There's the promises. That's why we sang our opening hymn today, "Standing on the promises of God our King. Through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God." And it is important, child of God, that every day we take the promises of the Lord. They are our strength, they are an encouragement to us. And therefore, every promise, we hear it over and over again and many times sung, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And you know, this is a wonderful promise today, found in the book of Psalm 81 and the verse 16, "Honey in the rock." You will find that this is a psalm of Asaph. You will see that from the title. If you have a title concerning your psalm, it has here in the Word of God that I have before me, it says a psalm of Asaph. And of course, this is one of other psalms. There's other psalms that are related to Asaph. Asaph, of course, belonging here to a musical aspect of the Levitical tribe. There was much music. That's why we enjoy music. In the Lord's house, that we enjoy singing. You will find even in the opening verses it says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise." It doesn't say a beautiful noise. You know, everybody gets worked up today about the choirs. And they say, "Well, I can't sing." None of us can sing, if we're honest. There's always a wee wrong note somewhere along the line. But I'll tell you this, it doesn't say a beautiful noise, but it says a joyful noise. It's good to sing, friend. It's good to sing in the shade and the sunshine. And it says, "Sing aloud unto our God, our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob." And it says here, this wonderful truth, "Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with a psaltery. Blow up the trumpet and the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast." The Asaph psalms are marked for the prophetic character and their emphasis on the sanctuary. This is the idea here in this particular psalm, the mention of the sanctuary. Asaph himself was one of David's three chief musicians, and his sons and descendants formed a musical guild. And you will find that throughout the Scripture. Some of his descendants were among the captives who returned from Babylon with Zerubbabel. And you'll find that in the book of Ezra, and the chapter 2, and the verse 41. And Asaph is there with his descendants, and of course they couldn't sing in Babylon. They were in bondage. They didn't have a song down there. They were in Egypt. They were downhearted. They were depressed. They were discouraged. But I'll tell you this, when they were brought from bondage, when they were brought out of captivity, now they had a song. And child of God today, thank God, every child of God should have a song in their heart. Thank God we're not in bondage anymore. Thank God we're not in Egypt anymore. Thank God we have been liberated by the power of the Spirit of God. And praise God today, we have a salvation that is full and free. And if you're saved today, say amen. And if you're rejoicing, say amen. That was poor there now. You see that? They're saved all right, but they're not rejoicing and saved. But my, it's good to know you are saved. And it's good to know you're on your way to glory. And my, it's good to praise the Lord in the house of the Lord. And when we're set free, thank God there's the song of the soul set free. Sinner, you're in bondage today. Sinner, today in God's house, young people today, my, you might have the song of the world, you might have the things of the world, but my, if you're right and truthful with yourself, you will say they don't satisfy you. But thank God today He gives a new song. A song worth singing about. It has to do here, this psalm, with the early historical stage of Israel. And of course, Israel's mentioned throughout this particular psalm. But I'm more concerned with this line today in the verse 16. And with honey out of the rock. Honey. One of God's promises to His children is recorded here. And it's a promise of honey. That's what it's saying. This is a promise to you today. It's a promise here. This word is a promise to the child of God. You know, every word has a significance in the Bible. I don't care where you read the scriptures, even historical events, even chronological names and so on. If you study the names even in scripture, they all have meanings. They have a specialness. And everything in the Bible, there's something special. And even this word today, honey, is a promise to the child of God. Of course, when you study this, you will find that honey here satisfies. Of course, you and I know that honey is perhaps the sweetest thing, probably the most sweetest thing that nature can produce. It has qualities that are good for a person's health. So therefore, if you're bad today, get home and get the honey out and it'll do you good. It'll help you. John the Baptist was a man whose diet was of honey. A diet of sweetness. I believe not only was it good for his physical well-being, but I'll tell you this, it was good spiritually as well. He was a man who had sweetness upon his lips. My, his conversation was always about the Lord. You read it for yourself. He was the one set out to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. He was the preacher, and especially the wonderful words that many, even the youngest child in her Sunday school today knows, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." My, that's honey to the soul today. Sinner, that ought to be honey to your soul today. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. Thank God He has come to seek and to save you today. And praise God today, there is honey in the rock even for the unconverted today. And my, His whole countenance was of beauty and sweetness. Is your life and mine of beauty and sweetness? You will find His diet in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4. Turn there very quickly. Do turn to the references that will help in the following of the scripture. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. You know, he was different in every way, John the Baptist. He dressed differently. He spoke differently. He ate differently. He stood out from everybody else. And so ought you and I, child of God, in every aspect of our lives. You know, that's why we don't believe in even social drinking. That those today who teach, well, you can be saved and you can go to the pub or the club praying. I don't find that in the gospel. In the Word of God, there has to be a difference. We are to be separated. We are to be an oddity for Jesus Christ. And you will find that John the Baptist was that. But everything about his life was of sweetness. It was honey. Oh, may God make my life day by day a sweet life. Whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the home life, whether it's in the church life, that my life will be sweet for the Lord. John the Baptist was. Our speech should be sweet. If you turn to the book of Proverbs and the chapter 16, you know the tongue is a very harmful organ of the body. In fact, it's probably one of the most dangerous organs of the body. The tongue can do so much harm. And my, the Bible over and over and over again mentions concerning our speech and our tongue. We can use our tongue for the glory of God. We can use our tongue for to bring encouragement to the saint of God. We can use our tongue as a blessing to the child of God. We can use our tongue to bring comfort to those that are going through sorrow. We can use our tongue to bring encouragement and to bring peace to the soul, to someone that is sick and laid aside in the bed. But we can also use our tongue in a harmful manner. We can use it in backbiting. We can use it in disharmony. We can use it to cut the child of God. We can use it harmfully. We can use it dangerously. And of course, our speech should be like honey. You'll find that in Proverbs 16 in the verse 24, and it says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. My, that deals with a gossip, doesn't it? That deals with the backbiting. That deals with the harmful words. And child of God, maybe even last year, this is a good time to reflect and to study. And maybe last year there are things were said that we ought not have said, and things that need to be put right because our tongue was used for evil and it was used wrongly. And you know what a blessing it brings when the tongue is like the honeycomb. The words are to be sweet. It is good in every way. Let me ask you today, child of God, are you an encouragement? Are you a critic? Are you a complainer? Are you concerned about the work of God? Let me say this today, child of God, watch what we say. And this is an onus to me. As I've been studying this, the Lord has been speaking to my heart. And I've got to be very careful. I was saying to our own Bible class this morning concerning Nehemiah. And he sought counsel of the Lord. And you know, day by day, so ought you and I to seek the counsel of the Lord that we may live right, that we may walk right, that we may speak right. And of course, the Word of God is good for us. You turn to Psalm 19. Psalm number 19 and the verse 10. And you'll read these words concerning the Word of God. You know, this book should be a book that's read in our homes. It's always wonderful to hear the pages being turned, and that's precious. And you know, this book should always be upon our hearts and in our mouths. And look what it says concerning the Word of God. In Psalm 19 and verse 10, it is to be more desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now here's even the Word of God. And my, as we read it, we ought to digest it. We ought to mull over it. My, it should be sweetness to our taste. Christmas, we got a lot of boxes of sweets. You'll see the results in a few months' time. But my, they're good. I sat one night in bed and I ate nearly a whole box of Ferrero Rochers. And I haven't an inkling about it. I didn't care. I said to the captain, of course, this is bad for me. And I said, it's bad for you too. But it was good. I love them, and I can still taste them in my lips. Sweet. But does the Word of God have the same effect on you and me? As we read it, my, does it have that lasting effect? That effect, my, you just want to go back again, and go back again, and go back again. It was delicious. Sweet to the taste. And this is the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is sweet to those that are going through a hard time. You take a saint of God that's going through a time of sickness, I'll tell you this. You might come and I might come and the minister might come with words to bring us encouragement. But I'll tell you this, there's words that go far deeper than man's word, and it's the Word of God. It is sweet to the taste. Our brother Billy, I see him looking at me now. Our brother Billy testified the other Thursday night in the prayer meeting how a Word of God was used. He was about to go through an operation the next day. The Reverend was in the house the night before. The phone rang and the Reverend spoke to Billy and he says, I have a wee word for you. And he brought Isaiah there and the chapter 41 and the verse 10. I got the nod. I'm having a bad memory. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, it was the very word that he needed to bring him through. That was his testimony of what the Lord did in bringing him through. And you know, there's others dotted in this congregation today, and they can look back today as when somebody just read the Scripture, or when they read the Scripture and they were going through a time of turmoil, or they were going through a time of pain, or sickness, or even sorrow itself. And let me tell you, this congregation has come through a lot last year in all these avenues. But you know, there's nothing as good as the sweetness of the Word of the living God. It's good for you. That's why we put upon it the emphasis on the Word of God. It's good, child of God. We need the Word of God. We need it to feed on it. That's why we have our preaching services. That's why we believe in the preaching of the Word. Because people need to be fed. Because the words are good. They're good in bringing us to Christ. They're good in bringing us back to Christ. And they're good to keep us going on with Christ. You and I know that we get honey either from the honeycomb or a jar. And when I read this, I thought this is something strange, but it says out of the rock. And I believe here the Lord is saying something much deeper. I feel the Lord is really saying to us today, you and I are going to have hard places in life. There was hard places last year, and I don't need to come to this congregation, or maybe even to people personally, and say to them, last year was hard. There was hard places in life. And you and I are going to run up against the rocks in life. That's of a truth. We have commenced a new year and none of us knows what hard places we're going to have to face or rocks we're going to have to take on in 2009. But thank God there's honey. And it's found in the rock. Don't be discouraged, child of God. I believe the Lord's saying here, I'm going to give you honey out of the rock. You're going to experience sweetness out of the hard experiences of life. Isn't that good to know? It's not wonderful to know that even when the hard times comes, you know there's going to be a sweetness that we're going to gain from the hard times in life. Not only is there the honey, but there's also the rock. If you look with me this morning, you will see here in this particular verse, and with honey out of the rock. You and I know that honey is probably the most sweetest thing that nature can produce. But I'll also note today that rock is one of the hardest things in nature as well. You really would say there's nearly a contradiction here, one of the sweetest and one of the hardest. I did wonder why God didn't remove maybe the rocks from the path of life. Have you done that, child of God? Have you ever sat when you were going through the darkest time? Maybe even when others have left you to your own and you've had time to think and you've been going through the difficult, maybe you've lost a loved one and the nights have been long and hard. Maybe you've been lying on the sick bed and really, when no one else has been there, you've shed the tears and you've been saying to the Lord, Lord, this is hard. This is a hard rock you've given me to bear. Maybe there's been times a problem has arose in the home and now you feel yourself you've hit a brick wall head on. Have you ever wondered why God didn't remove the rock? I'll tell you this, none of us enjoy going through the hard places. Not one. You and I don't appreciate the rocks of life when they come, but I'll tell you this, what I've learned from Scripture and from experience in life, they're needed. That's hard to take in, friend, and I understand that today, but that's what I have learnt, and probably you have as well. And just by reading the Word of God and by personal experience, they're hard. And nobody wants them. But they're needed. Some of God's children have learned that the sweetest experiences of life have come from the times when they faced the rock. You know, I have realized in ministry work that when you speak to saints of God that have gone through difficult times, you know, their testimony is this, even though it's hard and they're not in any way making light of what they've been through, but one thing they have learned is this, the Lord has been good and sweet to them. That if God had said to them, this year you're going to face this, that and the other, they would have said to themselves, there's no way I'll be able to face that. But they have, and God has brought them and is bringing them through. There's many people in Scripture you could turn to that faced hard rocks in their day and yet found sweetness. Think of Joseph. He seemed to have nothing but rocks for 13 years. He was hated by his own brothers. He was sold into Egypt as a slave. He would not stoop even to commit sin. He was thrown into prison and really felt apparently forgotten about. Yet it was the rocky experience after another, one after another, friend. He just never seemed to get rid of them. And one after another, there seemed to come hard times. But Joseph found out that there was honey in the rock. Because eventually these hard experiences prepared him to become God's servant and the second ruler over Egypt. God was in it all. What about David? He was anointed king of Israel. Yet he was hunted by a common and criminal. King Saul even hated him and tried to kill him on many occasions. And at times even David had to flee his home. He had to live in caves. Had God forgot about him? I'm telling you, friend, if that was me, I'd have been sitting in the cave wondering, what on earth is this all about? Why me? I have been anointed to be king of Israel, and here I'm sitting in an old filthy cave. Why shouldn't I have already been on the throne? Why shouldn't I have been sitting ruling and reeling? Why shouldn't I have been feasting of the finest on the table? Why shouldn't I have been giving out the rules? And why should I have been afraid of anyone? I could have had the whole regiment around me to fight for me. But he didn't. But when he was even in the rock cave, he found God was faithful. In the rock. And he may have had many doubts, but the day came when God gave him honey out of the rock. The day came when he was appointed at God's time to be king of Israel. Many times we want the rocks removed now, but sometimes God doesn't permit that. But I'll tell you this, he will make the rock more sweeter in God's time. What about Job? And the old serpent says, you give me Job and I'll make sure he'll curse you and he'll die. He'll turn his back on you. And things started to be removed in life, his health, wealth. His family was taken from him. He lost his finance and everything. But I'll tell you this, Job still got it. I'm not saying he found it easy, friend. You read Job yourself and you'll find it was hard and was difficult. And there's times you wish he had never been born. But you read the end of the story. I mean, even though the rocks came in life, I'll tell you this, the sweetest of honey was restored before life ended. What about the disciples in the storm? And my, there they were in the midst of the storm, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to them, and they were facing a great rock, and they were facing death even itself. And my, the Lord Jesus Christ come, and he spoke the words of peace and comfort to the storm. And there was a great storm, but thank God he brought a great calm. There was sweetness in the rock, friend. And I don't know what life will bring on you nor me. I didn't know at the beginning of January that we would be burying the father-in-law in May. I didn't know that last year. There's others gathered in this congregation and they didn't know they were going to bury loved ones in 2008. And it was hard and it's been difficult. But I'll tell you this. There's sweetness in the rock. There's the honey of heaven. How do I get it, Philip? Get to his word. Read it. Meditate upon it. And God will give you promises unspeakable and full of glory. There's the hard places. There's the honey places. But you know something? You'll find in the final part in Isaiah, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. There's satisfaction. I have noticed that many Psalms have three divisions. You look at it for yourself, do a wee study for yourself, even in the book of Psalms. But when you read the Psalms, many times you'll find three divisions in the Psalms. You'll find probably an area of tears. Often you will find the psalmist starting with tears or cries and calls and so on. You'll find then the emphasis then on trust, how the psalmist comes to the point, yes, there is the trials and there is the tears of life, and then there's the times when we've got to trust the Lord. In fact, one of the psalms tells us to trust in the Lord at all times. And then there's the triumph. It's always good to finish well. And thank God, child of God, it's always darkest before the dawn. And what might start out as a tearsome time, thank God it can end in rejoicing. Maybe today in your home there's a wayward child, and my, you feel you're hitting the rock, friend. Maybe in your home today it's difficult, and my, it seems the battle is just going constantly and constantly and constantly. Let me tell you this, my, the sweetness when that soul is saved. It's a hard rock now, friend, but thank God, keep praying, Mother, Father. Keep praying for that little child, that teenager, because thank God, when that child is saved, there'll be great rejoicing. We were at the minister's week of prayer, went on Friday morning, and one of her brethren that was there, he got news from his wife that the evening before, the Thursday night before, that as they were, the mother was doing the devotions with her little child of 7 years of age, that child opened her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? Say amen. There's honey in the rock, friend. And as Dad was at the week of prayer praying for the family, thank God, God at home answered prayer. And there's honey in the rock. Don't you give up on that wayward child. And I'll tell you this, it may be hard now, but you battle through and you keep praying and you keep your trust in God. Because I'm telling you this, there's days of sweetness coming. See, when that soul is saved, you'll be able to say, it will be worth it all. There's honey in the rock. That is what James is trying to teach us in the very first verses of this letter. You know, God never said the road of life would be easy, but thank God He has promised grace for the journey. If you turn to the book of James, lovely little book, so much teaching found in it, but if you turn to the opening words of James chapter 1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, of the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, friend, life is hard, and the Bible tells us life is hard, but thank God, He has promised there's grace for the journey. Trials are not working against us, but they're working for us. He can give us patience. That's what we need to pray today. God, give me patience in the trials of life. My brethren, count it all joy. That's a strong statement to say when you're going through a trial, friend. Count it all joy. Joy in what? Joy in the promises of the Word of God. Joy in the presence of God. Joy in the knowledge that God will bring you through. James is saying here, don't run around the rocks. Or stand there and expect God to remove them. But instead, look for the honey that is sure to come from the rock. And you know, many times we get our fixtures on the rock, and that's as far as we see. One day God said to Moses, there's water in the rock, but you couldn't see it. But he had to take God at his word. And God comes today and he's saying to the child of God, you know, yes, there's a rock, that is a fact. Yes, you're going through a trial. Yes, it is a difficult thing to face, and all you can see is the rock itself. But I want to remind you this, look a lot further, because there's honey inside the rock. Look beyond the rock. Don't try and work it out in your mind how to shift this rock, or how to get round it, or under it, or over it. Remember this, there is honey in the rock. By faith, trust God, and He will bring you through. Paul has the same idea in the book of Romans. The book of Romans in the chapter 8 and the verse 28. And we read these words, and it says here in this particular chapter, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. The all things. No matter how many rocks we may encounter as we go through life, we can always find that there's honey in the rock. That's what he's saying. All things. And if we turn everything over to the Lord,
He will show us that honey and He will give us that honey to sweeten our way home to glory. Do you need honey today? Is there something in life that's hurting? In this congregation of people today, maybe there is a rock. And in your mind, Philip, we will never be able to see it through. You don't have to see it through. You look at the rock and look further than the rock, and in there you'll find honey. The Lord will see you through. Paul said, Lord, I have a problem. I have a thorn in the flesh. It's annoying me. But God didn't take the thorn in the flesh away. But one thing He did do, He gave grace to bear it. That's the difference, friend. And sometimes God puts the rocks in their place and they're there for purposes. But thank God, in the rock there's also the sweetness. He brings the two together. Life's hard, yes. But then you have the sweetness of the Lord's presence to carry and to bring you through. For He has said, no matter what rocks may come, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Everyone has to have a system for handling the hard places in life. Some try to ignore them and pretend they don't exist. But of course, that only makes the hard places harder. Other people just give up and expect their friends to see them through. And let me say to you, it's good to have good friends in hard times. But they only can do so much. Or you can look to God and ask Him to give you what you need. The sweetness, the honey, in the midst of the time of hard places. Are you going through a hard time today? Then look to God. Take the promises of His word. He says today there's honey, but you've got to take it. There's no point knowing about it, friend. You've got to take it. That's what He was saying to Israel. You know, there was honey in the rock, but you didn't take it. There was honey there to satisfy you, but you didn't take it. And know sometimes in life, yes, we face the hard things. And you know, to be honest, we don't take the honey that's in the rock as well. And it's our problem. Because yes, there may be the hardness, but there's also the sweetness. Look to Christ. You know, I often find in life when you look to Him and examine the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes a completely different outlook on my life. The Lord Jesus, remember His difficulties that the Lord faced when He lived here on earth. And with this I close. He was born into a poor home. He was despised and rejected of men. When He tried to do good, somebody tried to turn it to evil. He stopped. He stooped to forgive sinners. And He was called the friend of sinners. If He ate a meal with a friend, He was called a glutton. He spoke the truth and was called a liar. But Jesus never ran away from the hard places of life. There was always honey. And one day they took the Lord Jesus to the hardest place of all, to the hillside of Calvary. To that hill, and there on that rock where the place of the skull is. And there on that hill, the blessed Son of God was laid on a wooden cross, and there the nails were placed in His hands and feet, and the crown upon His head, and the spear into His side. But let me tell you this, friend, above all that man could do, God the Father poured out His indignation on God the Son, and there on that cross their cry went forth, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? It was the hardest rock He ever had to face. And He faced it for you. And then that time went over and they took Him down from the cross. They took Him to a borrowed tomb and they put a stone across and they put guards on. They said, now you keep an eye on that. But praise God today, He's not on a cross. And thank God He's not in the tomb. Because the rock couldn't keep Him And on the third day the stone was rolled away, and out from that rock that was borrowed came the sweetness and the pleasantness and the blessing of a finished work of Calvary. The redeeming price was paid. And thank God today, from Calvary and the tomb flows the sweet honey of salvation and life. Do you believe it? Say amen. It was a hard rock, wasn't it, friend? But not too hard for God. And thank God today, when we know Christ as our Savior, and we examine His life and look to Him, I'll tell you this, then the little chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What's He saying? Yes, there's the rocks, but get your eyes on the honey. Yes, you're going through the trials, but remember Me, the blessed Savior, who went to the greatest place that ever known concerning Calvary, concerning the borrowed tomb. But thank God today, through that particular rock hillside and that rock of the tomb, thank God there comes life eternal. There's sweetness in the rock. I'm glad today salvation's price is paid. I'm glad today I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm glad today that I have in my hand the blessed Word of God, and there's promises full and overflowing. And even when the hardness of life comes, and even as a new year faces us with all that's unknown, thank God there's honey for the journey. There's sweetness for the difficult times of life. Where do I get it? I'll get it in the rock. It's there. Just look for it. There's honey in the rock. And thank God it will satisfy and will bring you and me sweetly and pleasantly through. May God bless these words even to your heart today. Let's have a word of prayer. And maybe today things have been hard, child of God, and maybe you have even at one stage questioned God. We all do. But even as you sit in the Lord's house today, may you just say, Lord, this has been a hard road. And, or Lord, I'm facing this rock now in my life. And to tell you the truth, I don't know how I'm getting through or going to get through. But God, can you reveal it to my heart today that there's honey for me in that rock? Give me the grace to hold on. Maybe you're a sinner today and you've been trying many of the rocks of the world to get satisfaction. Can I urge you today to come and taste and see that the Lord is good? Maybe you're a backslider today and you'd say, Philip, you know, I've been out in the things of the world trying to sample them, but they're just leaving a bitter taste in my mouth and in my soul. I'm not happy. I know I'm far away from my first love. I don't have the sweetness that I used to have when I was in fellowship with Thee. What have I got to do? I'll tell you this, friend. You get back to Christ today. And thank God there's sweetness in the rock. And there's sweetness in His Word, for He says, I will heal your backsliding. Maybe you've been years in a backslidden state, and today you know it and you've felt it for years, but thank God the Lord is able to change your life and you can eat again of the locusts and the wild honey. You can know the sweet presence of the risen Lord. Child of God, today, even now in the house, Lord, yes, there's a rock, but oh God, reveal to me honey from the rock experiences. Father in heaven, thank You for Your Word. Thank Thee for the instruction that we're given. Praise God, today there is honey in the rock that satisfies. Bless this congregation. Lord, we pray that You'll watch over them, meet their every need. And Lord, even when the hard times comes, Lord, grant it that they will see honey in the rock. And Lord, that You'll carry them through. We pray, Lord, that You'll speak to the unconverted this day and bring them to Calvary. Speak to the backslider today, and Lord, save that soul again. We pray, Lord, we pray that that sinner will come to Jesus Christ for salvation. We pray for the backslider that you'll restore them, and they'll know the sweet fellowship of the risen Lord again in their life. Lord, bless us and part us with your blessing. Be with us until we meet again. Bring us back in your will for evening service at 7:30. Help our young brother Ryan to preach the word. Bless our young people as they'll minister in song and testify. And may, Lord, we know the sweeter presence of the Lord even in our gospel time this night. Lord, but even now, speak to many hearts, and may thy word be a comfort and a blessing to souls this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody say it. Amen.